We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. Bobby J taking a little bit of time off. And at 5:45, Steve Geller will join us for our triple option feature. I want to tell everybody at 6:30 tonight, LSU baseball is the Fighting Tigers take on the Lions of Southeastern Louisiana. And you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app. A lot of things happening in the football world. We'll talk about the new kickoff rules. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. I'd been told they didn't quite have enough votes to get it in, but overnight I think there was maybe a little bit of an arm twist here and there. They got the votes to finally pass it, and if you watch the XFL, it's basically that's what you've seen, and trying to revitalize the kickoff, which only had 22% of kickoffs returned last year. But the big story coming out is certainly about Ryan Ramczyk, the Saints starting right tackle since 2017. For the first 5 years of his career, he was as good a right tackle as there was in the NFL. I mean, he was rock solid. Last 2 years, he's been battling injuries with his knee, the cartilage deterioration. He spoke about it late in the year, right before he got put on IR, and it was almost ominous tones the way he brought it up about the knee. And then, you know, we hear around the combine that he had had the surgery and that he was making progress. They had never really revealed exactly what type of surgery he had on the knee. And then today, Saints head coach Dennis Allen had this to say about Ryan Ramczyk's injury.
You know, at the combine a few weeks ago, I was feeling a lot better about it. And yet, I don't know that I'm seeing as much progress as I was hoping to see, you know, at this point. So I think that still kind of remains to be seen. But here's the cool thing. We got plenty of time, you know, no different than what we were talking about with Cam and being a veteran player and probably not utilizing necessarily a lot during this OTA and mini camp. You know, I would see the same thing, you know, with Ram too. So I think we're just going to have to wait and see how that all goes as we go through, you know, all the off season and as we get into the training camp aspect.
Is that something that could be a concern maybe going into the season?
Yeah, I think it could be. But again, like, we'll just have to kind of wait and see.
Did you just not respond to that surgery as well as you guys had hoped? Or what caused you to change a little bit?
I think more of it's just been visiting with him and he just isn't quite where I was probably hoping he'd be. And really, quite frankly, where he was hoping he'd be. So, but again, it's a long time before we kick the ball off. So I wouldn't jump to any conclusions right now, but you know, we'll see how it goes over the next, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, whatever that is, before we get to the season.
However you want to cut it, that's bad news for the Saints because it doesn't sound like that Ryan Ramczyk will be there to start the season. You can kind of read between the lines here and what's being said by Dennis Allen. If I'm him, I'm not real happy with my medical staff either. Because first of all, you tell me that you know, everything looks good in progress, and then a few weeks later, it's not. I'm not a happy camper about that. If I'm the head coach of that football team, and the biggest area of concern on this football team today is offensive line. You sort of knew that Eric McCoy is going to play center for you. Cesar Ruiz is going to be your right guard. You were hoping that maybe Ramczyk could give you some some of the moments that he had done in some of the first 5 years where he was unbelievable. He was a terrific right tackle. You had people in this league saying he's the best right tackle there. And now you've seen a kind of a steady decline because of the cartilage damage with him, and now questionable. And when the question was asked, could he potentially miss the entire year, you heard the answer. So for this football team, you're going to have to double down with offensive tackle help. You're going to have to pick one early in the draft, and also you're going to have to go out and get a veteran. And I know it's been said, oh, they got a certain price they'll pay for Andrus Peat, and they won't go no more. I think that changed today. Andrus, because you're going to need him at either left guard or left tackle, one of the two. And so, again, this is not good news for the Saints. The good news is this is a very thick offensive tackle draft. The worst decisions in life you make are when you're desperate or when you feel as though you're backed into a corner. There is another clip we'll play a little bit later when Dennis Allen was asked about help out of the wide receiver core. He said, I'd like to add another pass catcher. Didn't say wide receiver, pass catcher. So he sort of left the door open there. So I would say that's a pretty good shot they'll take offensive tackle. But what if Brock Bowers, if you've got him the seventh or eighth best player in the draft and he's there when you pick, do you pass on him? And you've done all this work on scouting. You put all hundreds of thousands of dollars into your scouting department. Well, we got to have a tackle so bad we're going to pass up a better player. Now, if Bowers is gone, then there's some tackles there that are real inviting. But I think just listening to Dennis talk, and we'll play that a little bit later, you can hear it. You can hear it in him. That he's left that door open. Come on, there ain't that many tight ends. It's not 2023 with all those tight ends that were available in a year where you have so much talent and depth at offensive tackle. You got to double down here, and you got to pick two of them. Not necessarily one and two, but somewhere in this draft class early. It might be in round five. You might have to go after another tackle if you pick one in rounds one and two. But you gotta kind of play to the strength of the draft, and it's at offensive tackle, wide receiver.
I mean, you said it, Mike. And now it's going to be interesting to see what happens because, as you mentioned, Brock Bowers, if he's there at 14, he's still an option. I think the door is still open on Brock. At the same time, I think the door is starting to close on getting one of those edge rushers. If either one of them fall.
I think both of them are gone.
Yeah, and I think that's a possibility as well, that both Dallas Turner and Jared Verse are gone by pick 14. At the same time, if they go ahead of that, maybe one of those top tackles like Talisa Fuaga from Oregon State falls there, a right tackle.
Or
if
Olu.
You're really concerned about Ramchek, it could work out. But as you mentioned as well during that, you know, kind of talking about Ramchek, Mike, Andrus Peat is loving this. He loves to hear this stuff. Because now, you know, the Saints have a price that they want to pay him, and he has a price that he wants from the Saints, and he's gone and talked with the Titans already. You know, he's figuring out what he wants to do in the offseason process. Now, the Saints, as you mentioned, they need not only a rookie, but also a veteran. And who's a better veteran? The guy that had a great season last year in Andrus Peat. So, I mean,
yeah, you got two young kids you really don't know enough about. Saul DeVere, who you really liked, you move up very early in round four to get him. He played tackle at Old Dominion, but he's really better off. And Jim Nagy and I were talking about this. I really think his best position is center, but he'll play guard in the NFL. I think that's his spot. That he'll play guard, but he got hurt early last year. We didn't see hardly any of him. And with Trevor Penning, who knows what you got here? Here's a guy who's physically got the talent that you would want. But from a technique standpoint, as a pass protector, he's been like a neophyte learning this. It has not worked. So what do you do with him at this stage? So you got some decisions there with two new offensive line coaches. And how Rick Dennison and John Benton will feel about it, and there's a lot of question marks. And the guy that's got to be sweating the most, Derek Carr. You think about now, you felt pretty solid with Ramchek at right tackle. Even though he wasn't maybe the Ramchak of 2017, 18, 19, 20, 21, he was still a good player. Now, you're not sure about the right tackle or the left tackle.
I don't want to hit the panic button, but it, like you said, Mike, that audio from DA is concerning at best about Ramchak. So, I mean, once again, there's a lot of really – the good thing is that there are a lot of really good right tackles in this class. Like the top couple guys, if you're looking at, you know, Joe Alt and Fashanu, they're left tackles. But if you want a guy on the right tackle, there's guys like J.C. Latham. There's guys like Kalisa Fuaga, who I think could potentially fall to 14 if things fall the Saints' way.
And
I think Troy Fautanu from
Washington
is another guy that could potentially be a top 10 pick, but if he's not, if he doesn't go that high, he's a guy that can play multiple spots on the offensive line.
Yeah, if he was 6'5", we wouldn't be having this conversation
Correct.
About him. Some people project him as a guard. You know what? I put him at tackle and say, prove to me you can't play it. All I know is every time you watch Washington play, man, he kind of stoned whoever he was up against. He went head up against everybody and sort of beat him. And the thing is, one of the things in scouting for almost 40 years for me now is that it used to be the right tackle, you had a tight end right next to you. It was your strong side. You would get a chip sometimes from that tight end, a little bit of help. Now with the tight ends are, Charlie, they glorified wideouts.
Right.
They flexing them out. You one-on-one. So all this stuff about, oh, the left tackle, he's got it rough because he's the best pass rusher is coming from the right side. Not anymore.
Mm-mm.
They're going to find the weak link in the chain and they go after it. Years ago, Khalil Mack, you'd watch a game with him. Khalil would start on the left side, go to the right. Then sometimes you've seen him at defensive tackle. That was new. Now today, watch how they kind of play football chess, and they use it like a queen piece. They're moving it all over to try to find the mismatch, but there are some really good tackles in this draft. But you never get away from your board on an area that you could help your team. And we'll find that clip and play it that Dennis talks about a pass catcher. I think he's basically telling you, man, if Brock Bowers is there, we got to really seriously consider it, even though it might not be our top need.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens if 14, you're picking there, and you have Bowers on the board, you have Fuaga on the board, you have Latham on the board, you have, you know, a couple guys that you would like to pick there. Do you trade back a little bit, a couple spots?
I would like to get extra picks.
No,
I'll be honest with you.
That's what I'm saying. It depends on how the board
falls. I think if Bowers is off the board, I'd be more inviting to that because I think when you feel four quarterbacks off the board, then
yes.
The receivers start to peel. The three, bang, bang, bang. Harrison.
Neighbors of Dunze and Harrison.
And comes off the board. You know Alt is coming off the board.
Correct.
You know the two defensive edge rushers because it's a small class.
Burst and Turner.
So the thinner it is, I think it moves them up. So Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, I think gets pushed up a little bit. You might have a host of offensive tackles there, mostly on the right side. We'll see if Olu can make it there or not because he would be a tough pass for me because I think he's a really good player at left tackle. But you'd have some options there to trade back if it wasn't too far and try to get back draft picks because this team needs to get younger and they need help in more than one place. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, Saints beat reporter for the Times-Picayune, Morning Advocate, Matthew Paris. Matt, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And one thing I can say, the Saints always make this offseason eventful, right?
They have, you know, even when they're apparently quiet and not supposed to be spending, they still manage to find a way.
Matt, two things I took out of comments from Dennis Allen. The first one, the news on Ramchek was not good. That's not certainly what we had heard around the combine time. But if you go back and listen to Ryan's comments when they had put him on IR, he seemed a little bit sort of cryptic about the injury, that it was pretty bad for him. And then you got a little bit of good news. But now today, the only good thing about it is this is a draft class loaded with some really good offensive tackles, talent and depth. If you pick the right guy here, I would not rule out another position because Dennis Allen, I'll give you the second quote later, but offensive tackle. Now, man, if I'm Andrus Peat, I'm like, hey, I know you had a certain price you wanted to pay for me, but hey, that might have went up after today.
Right. No, for sure. I mean, those are all really valid points. I mean, you know, with signing Chase Young too, that kind of rules out at least edge rusher in the first round for me. Now, I know he has his own injury history, but I don't think it's nearly as severe as what Ryan Ramchek is dealing with. It was actually very surprising because, you know, just a few weeks ago, as you kind of alluded to, Dennis Allen referenced and said that the Saints felt much better about Ryan Ramchek's knee. That they said that he had an off-season procedure and was able to feel better. But since then, I guess they've met with him, and he's not nearly making the progress that he wants to. So, you know, when you look at this draft, yeah, there are tackles there. J.C. Latham from Alabama, he's probably the best right tackle if they wanted to directly replace, Ramchek's replacement, or define Ramchek's replacement.
Matt, we sort of broke up. We'll get Matt Paris back on with us. His cell line sort of broke up. Do we have him back on, Charlie? Okay. Matt, go ahead. You kind of broke up with your cell line.
No, it's so I was just – where did I cut off? Sorry.
It's talking about Latham and to me, Latham and Fuago on the right side. Those are the two best right tackles in this draft class.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And it's just a matter of, you know, I think at 14, though, you know, if there's a left tackle there, I think that's kind of maybe the more pressing need. I think you'd always rather have a left tackle, a premier left tackle than a right tackle. And maybe you hold out hope that Ramchek's able to make some sort of recovery, but I don't know. It didn't sound great today.
No, and it doesn't sound good long term, because even if he would come back, I mean, you don't know how much longer he can go. One of the things that has changed throughout the years in covering the NFL is used to be a big difference, left tackle, right tackle, and kind of how you viewed them. Now today, the way they move the defensive ends, outside linebackers, you're not necessarily having the best pass rusher go up on your left tackle. Sometimes because of a mismatch, they think the right tackle is easily beaten, so they move him on the left side to go up against your right tackle. So I think there's a little bit different look on when you look at a right tackle and a left tackle. And for this team today, they need help at both areas, at left tackle and right tackle. And so it's an opening there. The second part was Dennis Allen talking about, I think somebody asked him about possibly adding a receiver, and he talked about bringing in Cedric Wilson as part of the mix. But he didn't talk about adding a wide receiver. He said pass catcher. So Charlie and I were talking about that. Listen, I can read that real good. Brock Bowers, I think, is maybe that pass catcher. if he would be there when you would make that selection. Because when you kind of do the numbers of the four quarterbacks going, the three receivers going, I think the two edge rushers, Jared Verse and Dallas Turner, will both be gone. That's always a surprise pick, and I think probably a couple offensive linemen gone. You could see that possibility that the tight end kind of gets pulled a little and kind of kicked back. It isn't like last year when they had so many of them. This year, there's Brock Bowers and the rest of the group. But the term of pass catcher caught my attention because I think I knew exactly who he was talking about.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I think Bowers will definitely be sitting there at number 14 unless, you know, a team wants to jump up or something to grab him. But I can't see someone it just seems more likely than not that he would be there just because of exactly what you mentioned, you know, four quarterbacks in the top 10, a run on wide receivers, an offensive lineman or two off the board. That, you know, the Saints have the 14th pick, which in a normal draft, I think would maybe be kind of a lesser pick or, you know, it's just a so-so pick. I think in this draft and with kind of just the team needs and everything, it really plays into their advantage of kind of where they are at.
I think what happened over the weekend with L'Jarius Sneed, God bless him. I've known him since he was in high school. He came to a couple of our camps when he was at Minden High School. He was playing a lot of receiver there, and then he turned into a terrific cornerback. And the what you had to give up to get him, and the Titans stole him. Jesse James, man, he had to put his life on the line and jump the train. And, you know, for that robbery, they got him for a third and a seventh round swap of picks. And you getting a guy who's one of the top cornerbacks in the NFL for a third round. My thing is, if that's what top corners are going for, whatever I got to do to make amends with Marshawn Lattimore, I want him on my team. Because a third round pick, you don't know what you're getting. I know what I got with Lattimore.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it kind of feels like the Saints are maybe at that place. I think it's still pretty early to see what happens there. I don't think even if they were to trade Lattimore, I don't think it would happen until at least June 1st anyway, just because of the way you're able to massage the cap hit. But you look around the NFL right now, and it's not just, you know, L'Jarius Sneed. It's, you know, Jalen Ramsey went for a third round. Now he was a little bit past, he's still in his prime, but it wasn't like the Jalen Ramsey trade from a few years ago. But, you know, you factor in Marshawn Lattimore's injury history of missing games in each of the last two seasons. I think a team that would want to try to acquire him would want to try and do so, you know, at a lower price rather than give the Saints what they want. I don't necessarily think the Saints have great leverage there to demand a ransom for him. So, I could see, you know, if you're the Saints and you're thinking about it, well, is it worth it to trade him? Well, you know, I don't think the compensation would be particularly strong at this point.
Matt, I think one of the things when you look across the board, there are numerous needs on this football team, offensive line. We talked about adding another pass catcher. I think a sneaky need for this team would be at safety. Now, I'm not sure if they go with a veteran safety or they draft one, but I think it's a need. It would not surprise me if they used a kind of out-of-the-box pick. I'm not talking about round one, but if they used an earlier pick, say a round two or one of the fives, safety to me would seem to be that way because you're playing multiple safeties today in all this nickel-dime coverage. Marcus May's gone, and I think there's a hole there for that safety position, or maybe they feel as though the market is so bad for safeties today. Man, last year it wasn't that way. They were getting paid. Now they're not getting anything out on the open market from a safety standpoint, that if you can get the right price for a veteran on a one-year deal and maybe draft one a little bit later.
Yeah, you know, I kind of think they feel like they've not solved it, but, you know, they brought back Jonathan Abram on a veteran minimum deal. They brought back Ugo Amadi. I know he plays more of the slot, but he's a safety option technically as well. And they're going to allow Jordan Howden to compete in training camp for that starting spot. And, you know, he is also a fifth-round guy that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Like, that they have three, comp picks in the fifth round this year. Maybe that is a spot that they look at, but I think they feel okay about that position right now, and you do look at the market, there are so many veterans available. I can't believe a guy like Cam Curl went for, you know, 2 years, $9 million. Like, that's a great price.
That's a steal for I'm telling you, last year, I mean, all these safeties, they were looking at $9 million, $10 million plus starting safeties. Today, you're lucky to get $10 million on a 2 year deal.
It's the inverse of the running backs.
Yeah, exactly. And this year, we saw the running backs, they got paid.
They got paid.
And
quickly.
Last year, they wouldn't, you know, it was kind of bargain basement.
Well, and remember, you know, the Saints just redid Tyrann Mathieu's contract to where, you know, they lowered his base salary too. They actually aren't committing that much to that position. So I kind of think they maybe agree with the rest of the NFL where they can just get by not committing a lot of resources. And, you know, for the Saints, that they had to clear money to get cap compliant and, you know, free up some space of what they wanted to do. You know, reworking his contract was a way to do it. And, you know, you just look at that position, overall, they aren't really committing that many resources there.
Matt, one of the things we saw today, and Charlie and I talked about it yesterday, I'd heard they didn't have enough votes for the new kickoff rule. They finally, you know, twisted a few arms and maybe had a few lollipops to drink during the night, so to speak, and made it work. First time I saw it in the XFL, I was like, man, I don't know. This doesn't look right. And you sort of got used to it after a while. Who would you think, or do you think they look outside the mix here for a kickoff guy? Because they have a punt returner. He's one of the best in the business in Rashid Shaheed. But do they have that guy that could be your kickoff?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see Rashid Shaheed on kickoff just to see whether he could do it. You know, that's one of the things Darren Rizzi was talking about today, is that because this is a shorter distance and, you know, hopefully less of an injury risk, that you could see the return of premier players, you know, kicking back in the return game and stuff, or, you know, really emphasizing that sort of speed. It seems like, you know, if they want to give Taysom another job, that he would maybe be that second returner.
I was going to bring up Taysom. I wondered about that too. That certainly would roll into my head that I would like to see him in that, because you know that initial shot of everybody lining up together and hitting the field hard, once you break out of that first lane, man, you got some open field.
Yeah.
Nice well, to break things, out of there.
Yeah. One of the things Arizzi mentioned too was that, you know, that second returner that's going to be on that line, they have the option to kind of run reverses and do those sorts of things. And so, you know, I think Taysom has experience kind of doing those sorts of things. So I actually think it makes kind of sense for that. I joked with him, Rizzi, that, you know, it sounds like another role for Taysom, and he just laughed. So.
Yeah, Matthew, I want to circle back around to the Andres Pete conversation that we were having earlier. Just your thoughts on this whole situation with the offensive line. If you're looking in the draft at 14, we already talked about a couple of different guys that could be there on the offensive tackle side of things. The right tackles are mostly going to probably be there, unless maybe Olufoshanu falls there from the left side. So that's a good replacement option. There's also going to be some tackles taken in the second round. So, you know, maybe Brock Bowers, if he's there at 14, you go Bowers at 14, and then at 45, you take a tackle there. Maybe Jordan Morgan. I know, Mike, you like him as well from Arizona. But that's just a couple guys. But at this point, with Andres Pete, I mean, what do the Saints do? Trevor Penning's the big question mark here, because you don't know how he's going to develop.
What do you do with him?
Yeah, exactly. What do you do with him? Do you kick him inside a left guard, or do you leave him at left tackle and move on from Pete? That's a big commitment to someone like Penning, who so far has not really shown anything. So, you know, with Pete, you know, they have their set number that they want to give him. But do you now go up in price to bring back someone like Andres Pete?
Yeah, I mean, they don't strike me as a team to really break off from, you know, they have their price and they're going to bend, at least, you know, maybe others would disagree, but it just doesn't seem like they kind of bend like that as aggressive as they are in the draft. It seems like they're kind of disciplined in free agency to a certain standpoint. With Pete, it's interesting because, you know, he had that visit with the Tennessee Titans. That didn't really go anywhere. He still remains unsigned. So he's still out there, but they also signed, you know, Ali Udo for offensive line help. They gave him a one-year contract. Now, the other thing Dennis said today that I'm sure you're aware of is that he doesn't necessarily see that as a one-for-one replacement, and that they would be interested in bringing back Pete necessarily. But it just kind of depends what happens and what his market is.
Yeah, because, you know, with the Titans, I mean, the Saints got offensive line issues, but, man, do the Titans have offensive line issues.
Yeah.
Good Lord, because I do some stuff with them in draft time and also pregame, and good gracious, their offensive line's been atrocious the last couple years there. And that used to be the strength of their team, but that's kind of fallen by the wayside. Matt, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Really appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for all your insights.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Matthew Paris, Saints beat writer for the Times-Picayune Morning Advocate. And we come back, Charlie and I will go through the new kickoff rule. And like I said, if you watch the XFL, it is very similar to it. But we'll go through the details of that right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettie along with Charlie Long in studio. And we talked about the new kickoff rule. And the kickoff will start as it normally has at the 35-yard line. And so that part stays the same. What has changed is, if you've watched the XFL, they'll line up the 10 players at the receiving team's 40-yard line. The 10 players lined up all straight in a row. 5 yards beyond that at the 35 is where the receiving team lines up. So you got to have a minimum of 9 there up front on that receiving team in that straight line. The ball has to cross that 20-yard line and be in the zone where you can catch it in that target area. And you cannot move until that ball touches someone. And so either it hits someone or it's caught. And so that's the big change with the rules in that you're lined up at the receiving team's 40-yard line. And the receiving team is lined up at the 35-yard line, 5 yards away. But you can't get a running start. You got to start from there. And it's kicked off. And basically no fair catch unless it's into the end zone. Because if you do make the fair catch, then it's put at the 20-yard line. But if it's kicked out of the end zone, then it goes to the 35-yard line.
It disincentivizes touchbacks.
Touchbacks,
which I think
completely.
Is actually pretty good. I think you want – the touchback is such a boring, you know, play in football.
No, I love the kickoff game. I think that has been taken away, and you're going to have to get used to this, okay, because visually when you first see it, when I first saw it in the XFL, I was like, man, that doesn't look right. But it is what it is, and I think – now the strategy is who you going to get to return it. Because if you're in a straight line running, okay, it's like a wave. Once you can get past that first wave, man, you gone pecan.
And then there's one other thing that I want to add here. NFL Stats has a good rundown of it, and I'll just read it out because it's effectively what you said, Mike. It's just kind of step by step. But one of the big question marks was what happens with the onside kicks with this new rule.
And that's changed.
You have to announce it now. But I think as of now, I think it's actually the same way. Like, it's the same as it is now, but they just have to announce it ahead of time. But as far as the regular kickoffs, as you mentioned, Mike, the kicking team, other than the kicker, this is via NFL Stats on Twitter, cannot move until the ball hits the ground or player in the landing zone or the end zone. The landing zone, as you mentioned, is the 20-yard line to the goal line.
And beyond, yeah.
And then the end zone is the end zone. So moving on from that.
And if it's kicked out of bounds, too, because we had somebody text me about this. What if it goes out of bounds? Then you get it at the 40.
Right. All players on the receiving team in the setup zone cannot move until the kick has hit the ground or the player in the landing zone. And any kick that hits in the landing zone must be returned. Once again, we've talked about how it's disincentivizing touchbacks because it's just kind of a boring play. I think that's actually really fun. Moving on, any kick that hits before the landing zone is a touchback to the 40. So, I mean, that's never going to happen. Like, teams are going to be so... You know,
man, my thing is I'm going to kick it and make sure I get it around
the
10-yard line.
Exactly. If a kick hits the landing zone, rolls into the end zone, and isn't downed, it's a touchback to the 20. So that's also
So you don't want that.
Yes.
That's sort of worst-case scenario.
And then if a kick lands in the end zone or goes out of the back, as you mentioned, Mike, it's a touchback to the 35. So it's the new rules. It's going to be pretty interesting to see how it works out.
And everything new, I think, gets a little bit – got to have to get used to, but I think they want that that big playability. I talked to Carl Johnson about this, and, you know, one of the things, and he was formerly the head of NFL officiating, and he was like, one of the things we had to revamp the rules, there were so many violent hits on these kickoffs and guys getting hurt that he sort of said, you know, they're going to eventually have to change this some kind of way. Now, he didn't envision they would take the XFL rules, and that's basically what they did with it. They basically took that. So the big change you'll see is the kickoff starts as it normally has at the 35.
Yes.
But then if you're kicking it, you are lined up in a straight line at the 40 of the receiving team, and 5 yards away is the receiving line, and you have to have a minimum of 9 up on that line.
And for the kickoff teams, the kicker cannot hit it out of the end zone.
Cannot.
Or else it gets all the way put up to the 35. Just think about that for a second, Mike. A kick out of the end zone, the touchback goes all the way to the 35-yard line. With today's like kickers, place kickers, you don't need much to score points.
Man, my thing is, okay, hardhead, do not kick that ball out of the back of the end zone, but pop it up in the air and try to get it around the 10-yard line. That, you know, in between the 5 and the 10-yard line. These guys are so precise today. It will take a little bit of getting used to, but I think people are going to like it. Once you get settled with it, I think you're going to see another element. And the one thing I'll give the Saints, where they've always been on top of things, special teams.
Yep.
With Darren Rizzi.
Awesome.
And
yeah,
he is the guy that kind of helped orchestrate what you are going to see today.
The one thing you're missing with this new rule is that you're not going to see those exciting like 102, 107-yard kickoff returns. But at the same time, you're going to see more return kicks.
Yeah.
Like there's no incentive for a touchback in this new rule.
Okay, and somebody asked about the onside kick. We had went through it, but what you could do, you lined up as you normally would do. But you got to declare you're going to go for an onside kick. So it's not this new rule with the kickoff.
No more ambush.
No more ambush. That's history. Now, this is for a one-year trial. This has not been set in stone for 10 years, a permanent rule, but it's a one-year deal. So an onside kick, you have to declare it, and you would do it like you normally would kick an onside kick at the 35, having to go to 10 yards. So that particular part is the same, other than the fact I got to declare I'm doing it. So that sort of settles it, and we'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. We're finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettig along with Charlie Long at 520. Wilson Alexander will join us covering the LSU Fighting Tigers. Jimmy will go to you right after the break, and 2 Christmas Day games on a Wednesday. We'll give you a little bit more information on that right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.